Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the National Black Unity Zoom and podcast and a blog radio. Thank you for showing up. Thank you, Trudy. Thank you, Brother Satawi, for showing up. I want to turn over the co-host to Trudy in the event that she, needs to help navigate. And I should have done that earlier. I expected to have gotten this done in the beginning, and I did not. So I got to go into participants and do that. Turn that over to you, Trudy. Let's see here. Okay, there you go, Trudy. So now you're a co-host. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Should we wait on other folk? I got it on pause, and I'll start a recording, you know, as soon as you all give me the direction to do so.
Well, this was impromptu, Michael. So, I mean, you know, I don't mind following the lead. I mean, usually Brother Satawi gives his
reading,
you know, his thought for the day, however. So, I mean, if you want to go ahead, Brother Satawi, that's fine with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have Brother Satawi doing the reading, the Monday reading. Always an interesting reading. And go ahead, Brother Satawi, and thank you all for showing up. Fran
right.
Allen, everybody.
Okay. Reading for the day. As we do each and every time we come
this
on
this meeting
airways,
is being recorded.
As we do each and every time we come on these airways, we do a reading from Daily Motivations for African American Success, author Dennis Kimbrough, who's also the author of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. And the reading for the day goes, I have a dream. There is nothing mysterious about success. It's the ability to stay mentally locked in. And that quote is from Montel Williams, talk show host. Reading for the day. Success is creating a state of mind that allows you to obtain the desires of your heart. Success resembles human survival. Both depend on future vision, seeing ourselves in specific situations as healthy, thriving, and full of positive expectations. As a college student in Houston, Texas, Dr. Barbara King, pastor of Hillside Truth Center in Atlanta, Georgia, overcame a life-threatening bout with tuberculosis. When she was cleared to resume her studies after spending 4 years in a sanitarium, Dr. King discovered that her classmates had either graduated or dropped out while she was convalescing. Now faced with doctor bills as well as tuition, she worked as a maid on campus to get through school. After finally completing her coursework, she was asked how she managed to endure. What powers did she possess that others lacked? How did she manage to stay focused? She gave a clue in a speech before a group of college hopefuls. I never thought of quitting, she said. I kept my eyes on the prize. I had faith. There's enough faith in the world to accomplish anything, but you must claim this faith for yourself. Claim it. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't be what you want to be. Claim it and believe it. Believe in yourself. Believe that you have something to give to the universe. Focusing your energies in a single direction can work wonders. If you want something badly enough, long enough, and consistently enough, don't be surprised if you get it. Today I will focus my mind on my goals. And, you know, that reading is very powerful because, you know, she had overcome tuberculosis and ended up having to work as a maid on campus. But she kept her focus on what her goal was. And her goal was to go to college and be able to move on. And she was able to attain and do that. So I say to all of those listening, remember your goals and focus on your goals. Have faith in them and believe in them. And you can accomplish what you want to accomplish. So with that, I turn it back over to you, Brother David. Brother Michael.
Thank you. Claiming faith and standing in faith is a very critical thing. I heard a talk today about Moses being caught in between the sea and the army, the military, and who were coming against Moses' people. And Moses didn't have a choice. He was at the sea, and the army was coming to the sea. And so he told his people to remain faithful, that something's going to come through by the Almighty, the one above all. And something came through, you know, this bridge for him to cross the water, for his people to cross the water. And then the story, you know, landed as it did with Pharaoh ending in death. So we have to maintain faith up to the moment. It's an instantaneous thing that we have to maintain. And my mouth is close to my ears and yours. It goes to me first. So any troubling and trial situations that we are in, the faith is the thing that we have to rely on. Some people have little faith. Some people have high faith. But the people who have high faith have to pick up the people with the low faith. And if the people with the low faith don't see that the people with the high faith don't have high faith, then the ship sinks, so to speak. So someone must stand with confidence in all situations, because we've been brought here for a purpose, as he alluded to. And we may not have identified our purposes, but we do have a purpose. And many times we get this right on time learning. You know, we just don't know. We just don't know. And suddenly, right on time, we learn what to do. And that gives us the segue out of the situation that we're in. I want to have anyone else to come on and speak what they want to speak about. And I'd like to elaborate on 1,000 Great Minds and this Howard Moore Nationwide Housing Program after everyone else speaks. You know, if I could get 15 minutes or something, you know, to elaborate on that, I would be appreciated. And so the floor is open. I have some other things on my mind. I also wanted to talk about time. I think we talked about time before, and I wanted to do an elaboration on time. And so what I want to do now is have you guys to go ahead and interject, you know, what you have, and then I'll come back with that 5 or 10 minutes of time, talking about time and what I've been pondering about that.
Well, Brother Michael, I mean, you can go ahead. I think if no one else objects, you can take your time up front, and then we'll all chime in towards the end.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll just start off with this time thing. When I was 40 years of age, I recognized something, you know, and now I'm past 40. And I discovered that I'm 14,600 days beyond 20 years. 14,600 days beyond 20 years, and 14,600 days is 40 years. 40 years in the wilderness. 14,600 days. And how long does it take to learn? I mean, if we had taken 1% of those days, 146 of those days to go in 146 different positive directions, one of them might have been to get to some education. One might have been to learn some sort of skill. One might have been to do something family related. One might have been doing something community related. Even 0.5%, 73 things in 14,600 days to take us in 73 positive directions from one human component. Now I'm thinking, do we think like that? Do humans, you know, have 73 attributes about themselves that they are applying all the time within this time and being efficient and effective about bringing forth results within that time frame? That is a long time. 14,600 days, and we hear about the 40 years in the wilderness. Imagine being dumbfounded for 14,300 days for 40 years. Is that worse than incarceration for 40 years, being incarcerated for 40 years? What is taken away from you in that 40-year time frame, in those 14,600 days? What are the trials and tribulations that we experience that knock us off course in those 14,600 days? So that's what I've been pondering, you know, about these thousands of days that we've been given. And are we given our full potential, not our full potential, but something beyond what the brain is doing, 10% or 5% or whatever it may be. Can we get to another level to where we get to 20% use of, out of our brain? You know, and I'm speaking of black people being, you know, where we are in life and having to the slave descendants and as Araminta Ross, Harriet Tubman, she escaped in after she's 27 years old and going through the trials that she went through. She had one focus, and that was freedom. That's a huge focus, though. When one person is focused on one thing that changed the lives of many people, that's a great thing. That's a great objective without 73 or without 146. So I want to know what you all think about that, you know, about this time thing, and can we do better, you know, with our time and make better decisions to come out with better results?
Well, Brother Michael, I can say, because you made a lot of good points, and those points are from a logical reasoning standpoint, which makes sense to me, because you're right, 40 years and that amount of time, we let that slip away because we take time for granted. Time is a very precious, and we don't understand the impact that it has on our lives until we're looking backwards. You know, when we're looking forwards, it has no impact. But when we start to look backwards, that's where we feel like, where did all the time go? You know, the thing about using 10% of your brain, I think like that old cliche goes, if you're the biggest fish in your pond, you need a bigger pond. A lot of times we don't challenge ourselves. We don't push forward. You have to be a life learner. You have to always engage in self-development, self-assessment. When you start looking at incarceration, and you talk about incarceration, we're still incarcerated to some degree in our mind, in our own thinking. We are slaves to our own mentality. If we could get to the end of ourselves and out of our mindset, which is the buzzword today, then, you know, we could escape that. You also have to look at freedom. Freedom constantly evolves. There is no goalpost for freedom. It's ongoing. It's everlasting. You free yourself from one aspect of your life, then you challenge yourself and free yourself from another aspect of your life. So, and you spoke about faith. We are all given, first we have to look at a mustard seed. It is not the smallest, but it is one of the smallest. So if you take that into comparison, small being big, and where we have to go in that journey to get to that point, we're all given a measure of faith. So for the people that maybe don't think they have faith or their faith needs to be watered, cultivated, you know, we all have faith, even if it's the size of a mustard seed. And faith is a gift. You know, God gives that to us. And the other thing that I wanted to say, eyes on the prize and our constitution to never quit. That is the recipe for champions. People fail and they think it's over, but you take your failure, you reexamine it, you look at it and say, what did I not do right to be able to produce a new formula? And if you fail again, because, I mean, that is perpetual. We have to learn how not to suffer rejection. Rejection is part of life. Failure is part of life. So, I mean, with that being said, I will let go of the mic and pass it.
Great point. I saw Sienna's hand up and I was trying to put it down. I was trying to let her say what she had to say. That's what I was trying to do, and I put her hand down. But go ahead, Sienna. And thank you very much, Trudy. Strong points, and I wanted to come back to something you said, if I can remember.
And I think that part of it, part of our, you know, that I do get what you're saying, you know, days are counted and everything. And I think it's important that people view that now from a culture sense, you know, and that should be shared with more children and young people, that, you know, time is, you know, you want an allowance. This, you know, you want a visit ultimately. And then the other part of that is you can do what you can, you know, to be best prepared, but everybody is floating on their own time, you know. The other important thing I like to bring up, though, is one of the very first laws that were put into place by, you know, in this country was an act to regulate the time and manner of administering certain oaths. That was one of the first laws of United States, you know, when the United States Constitution and all those things were drafted. And I think that just as a people living under that rule, we don't look at time construct as you kind of added your days. You know, everybody just hasn't absorbed that concept that we are operating, you know, in a country. We are free, but we kind of not, but you are. And then you on the time frame to do certain things. So it's never late to do anything. But I think if I'd have known some of these things earlier in life, like you said, I would have taken some things a little bit more seriously.
Yes, Marcus Garvey said that the one who owns your time owns your mind. And seeing the 40-hour a weak time structure, I can see, you know, where the mind is on. You can't think of anything else on the job. You can't focus on your own business on the job. And when you get off the job, there are holidays and there's family and there's other things. There are other things that must be done inside the family. And that 40-hour construct is a huge component, I think, in the employers owning the employees' time, to the extent that even when they get off from work, you know, they still may be talking about the job. And as far as entrepreneurship as relates to money and income, the limitation of income on a job as opposed to unlimited income in a business is part of the employment construct has not enabled many black people to go into businesses, and then we have this statistic about 85% of the businesses failing anyway. And I think it's because not having the time and attention and the resources and the people, you know, who have your interest at heart to assist in moving forward and having a better life. I was reading a book called The Owner's Manual for the Brain. And it said that welfare children hear 500 words per day, and middle-class children hear 1,000 words per day, and upper-class children hear 2,000 words per day. So by the English vocabulary, the limitation in the English itself, you know, we're not speaking Arabic or Spanish, but limitation, you know, in the household language that our children are getting and going back out with, and you reach a ceiling when you come into these higher intellectual people, it seems to me. So that's my piece on that.
May I inject something here?
Yes, sir.
It's great. Oh, by the way, good evening, everyone. Blessings on you all. You guys make my day. Let's look at the fact you're talking about time. So with us, if it wasn't for segregation, it would be integration. If it wasn't for integration, it would be hell on the street. If it wasn't for hell on the street, it would be education. If it was not education, it would be indoctrination. If it was not indoctrination, it would be drugs. If it wasn't drugs, it would be Donald Trump. If it wasn't Donald Trump, it would be the Republican Party. And la-di-da-di-da-di. Just time runs on. So we're caught in one of these things called a time loop. But why don't we use that time effectively? Dave mentioned something about no more excuse, because you were talking about financial gains. So while we got a few of us on here, why don't we just reach back in our minds and look at various ways that we can reach out into the inner cities of America, text some of our people, then they don't have to go traditional to be in business. They can go untraditional and be in business for themselves. In fact, you've got dozens of people with shops that got all types of, shops and so on and so forth, other types of businesses that our young people can have. That's why there's so much killing on the street. I got to change this curve now. Time is of essence for them also, and their time is running out because the system have it designed for them before they get to fifth grade. They know exactly how many kids are going to jail. So it's on us, and you said that you got so many days. Well, you got 14,600 days. I've been here 75 years. That's a lot of days, you know. So I'm looking at the fact that I'm still on a battlefield. I was in the battlefield during the civil rights, and it hasn't changed. We must curb the killing. It's because it's something that's been in our neighborhoods for years, but we can set the tone through the National Black Unity News with no more excuses, but we got to begin with something small. Each one of us have a piece of that puzzle. And if we bring it all together and merge it together, I believe we could take it out nationwide, could impact some people and save somebody's soul. I can't save somebody's son or daughter from the ravages of what society has put forth of us. And that is, they want us to kill one another. Just put it like that. Thank you very much.
Yes, in relation to the National Black Unity News, I was giving some thought to the Muslim Journal and the Final Call newspapers, and that how very, very critically important it is to maintain the newspaper and to get the newspaper out there. It's on the ground. The marketing in the newspaper is different from the marketing on the internet, where someone can tamper with your marketing and charge you for marketing by the click, whatever. But in the newspaper, ads in the newspaper are old traditional things where people don't have the interference of the internet, you know, when they're reading the newspaper, and they have access to these ads in the newspaper. And I think that will help black businesses and black people as well by just continuing to push the newspaper, expand the newspaper, and don't have any idea of erasing the newspaper, because these folk expect to just erase all newspapers except newspapers inside societies. You know, they don't want for anyone to have control of masses of people reading their paper with their own media in it. So for that reason, the National Black Unity News is very critically needed in my mind, and continue pushing forward with that and continue working to get it around the United States and keep it on the ground, because the internet's in the air and it's not as concrete, you know, as old time traditional advertising in the newspaper.
Well, how do we formulate strategies to get it into, I live in Virginia, truly live in Virginia, and we have some other people live in Virginia, and you live in the Carolinas or whatever. Why don't we look at a way to formulate to get it to maximize the visibility of the paper? How do we go about that? I mean, really, you know, you give out a paper here and there, but what about one that falls between the crack? What do we do with this?
Go ahead, Trudy, and then Fran, open up her mic.
Go ahead, Fran. I can come behind you.
Well, good evening, everybody. I'm so glad to be back. I've been kickboxing, so let me just leave it like that.
Right.
But I'm glad I can sit down and run my mouth for a little while instead of punching at folks, you know. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. This thing called time, I think it is really served by learning how to control your choice. Because sometimes our choices really require us to spend a lot of time on some things that we really don't have no business fooling with. But we made that choice. And then after you make the choice, then you discover that there's a whole lot of other things that come with that choice that you really did not necessarily consider. So we have to do a better job of controlling how we make the choices that we make, because that really does, you know, tie up our time. Another thing that is really important about choice is having exposure. See, I knew that when my kids were little, they were only going to choose to do the things that they knew existed for them. So I took them everywhere. I took them to museums, and they saw things that they didn't see in the neighborhood. And I took them on trips. You know, we'd hop in the car on a Saturday, and I'd be like, come on, you guys, we're going on a road trip. And they'd be like, for real? I'm like, yep. And I didn't tell them ahead of time because they'd be worrying the hell out of me about when we was leaving. So I didn't tell them until it was time to go. Come on, y'all, we're going on a road trip. And sometimes I just drove across the Bay Bridge so they could see all that water, so it could open up their imagination. Ma, look at all that water. Mm-hmm. And you know what goes on the water? Ships. And you know what goes on ships? People. And you know what they do on them ships? They go all over the world. For real? Yep. And you know what? When you get big, you can get on a ship and go around the world too. Wow. Mm-hmm. So I introduced them to the opportunity to travel besides doing it in a car. Then I'd be like, you know, you guys remember when we went to Nana's at Christmas time? We went on an airplane. You know, the airplane don't just go to Nana's. The airplane goes all over the world, too. You can get on an airplane and go anywhere. You can go to Europe. You can go to Italy. You can go to Spain. You can go to Africa. You can go to Morocco. You can go to Brazil. You can go anywhere. And they were just amazed that you could get on an airplane and the airplane really could go anywhere. You know, they thought, well, you know, my car only goes where I take it, but an airplane goes wherever you want it to go. So that exposed them to another possibility, another opportunity. And then I started requiring them to read books, because you're right. If they only listen to us talk about what we talk about, they only going to hear so many words, because we'd be fussing about a lot of stuff. And some of them words that we'd be saying, they're not supposed to be hearing anyway. Right. But they do. But when you open them up to different cultures and different people, they learn different things. And when you make them read books, they get pictures painted for them that you are unable to paint because you don't have the exposure to those things yourself in order to paint an accurate picture. So you rely on the books to do that, and the books can take them beyond anything that we could ever try to, you know, sit and tell them, because we can give them a book about anything. I gave my grandson a book called The Book of Answers, and The Book of Answers has everything in it, from why the sky is blue to how a rocket ship is made to how cars were invented to how you build a house to, I mean, it really has all these, just anything you could possibly imagine. There's a little summary of where it came from, how it came about, and how you can do it, and where you can find more information, just so that they can get their minds going around, wow, you know, because I would tell them all the time, there isn't anything that you can't do, just some things that you probably will choose not to do. But that still goes back to choice. And we have to be disciplined enough to follow through with the choices that we make. That's another reason why many of those Black businesses do not fail, because they are not disciplined. They are not disciplined. They have not learned the discipline of, you know, when you are a business owner and you say you open up at 8 o'clock, it's 8 o'clock. You need to be there at 7:30. And depending on what kind of business it is, you need to be there before then. But the door, when you say the door is supposed to be opened up at 8 o'clock, the door is supposed to open up at 8 o'clock. Not 8:15, not 8:30, not 9:45, 8 o'clock every day. If it says Monday through Friday, then it happens Monday through Friday. But a lot of times we aren't disciplined enough to hold it. We can't hold the line. And so then people, you know, begin to not trust that we're going to be where we say we're going to be and do what we say we're going to do. And that's our fault, because we show them that we are not dependable in our effort, you know. So we have to be disciplined enough to follow through. The other thing that I discover about not just Black people, but a lot of people, they're so easily distracted. They're so, especially the young people, they can be caught up in doing whatever they want to do. And as soon as somebody says, did you see what's on Instagram? It's over. They ain't doing another thing. They all on their phone doing what they do, texting each other back and forth. I'm like, wait a minute, hold up. You got to put that thing down. No, I can't put it down. You see what's going on? We got to do something. I go, yeah, you do. The job that you're getting paid for, that's what you got to do, you know. So they're easily distracted. And then so many other people are afraid of change. They're afraid of change. Just like Trudy said, they're afraid of challenge too. Challenge and change are two things that many people really have a hard time coming to terms with. And I think that is largely because when you're facing those things that you're afraid of or those things that you believe challenge you, they also call you to be responsible and accountable for how you deal. Why you got so many grown folks living in the basement of their parents' house. It's not about the economy. It's because they don't want to go out there and do the things that their parents did to get the house. They don't, why should they do that when they can stay under the roof that they already got? Well, you got to do that because one day their wings are going to go to heaven and your wings are going to have to make you fly right here on this earth. And if you don't test them out while you still got a safety net, you're going to have a hard landing when you get out there and find out that them wings don't work quite yet because you wasn't paying attention. So, you know, we don't do things because we're afraid of it. We, you know, the challenge, and it makes us have to be responsible and accountable. So my thing is, what is your choice and what are you going to do about it? If you're going to make a choice, then you make that choice, but it doesn't come without some kind of activity with it when you make a choice. And if you're going to do that activity, then are you going to call yourself to be disciplined enough to be consistent with it? Because you can't just start and kind of go when you feel like it, stay as long as you want, leave whenever you're ready, because it doesn't work like that either. I mean, we got to have some control. We got to have some discipline. We got to not be so easily distracted, and we have to be responsible and accountable for the things that we actually choose, because they do not come. All those choices, good, bad, or indifferent, they all come with a consequence. Some of them are really good. And some of them are not really good, but it's a choice. It's a choice. And if we stop to think about all those things before we choose to do some of the things that we do, we think we might be a little better off, because we're controlling our time a little better, and we're using it for something that could be really beneficial, not just for ourselves, but for our families and our communities and beyond. But to me, it all comes back to the five-letter word choice and what you do with it when you make one. That's my two cents, and I'm sticking to my story.
You said a lot.
Yes, I did.
You said a lot.
Well, I just wanted to piggyback. Social media is a modern-day genocide. The family is lost. And when we talk about census, we only, what Michael said, in a welfare, I kind of took offense to that, because I grew up in two-parent military, you know, but when I became my own, when I was a single parent with three kids, poor, trying to give them a vacation and a life and not living, you know, in the ghetto, you know, with roaches and rats. I got a whole story. But when it comes down to, we have effectively been taught decision-making. That is a process. But choice, you have to count the cost in everything that you do. And that might sound cliche, But counting the cost, you have to. Those things are important. What I want to say about the National Black Unity News is based on tradition. And you're right. Everyone wants to go to Microwave Society. They want to go to It's Fast, Hurry Up. You know, I want it this way and that way. But I think it's still an opportunity to remain traditional. And we can show our children's children how to, you know, how that can work and how the business works and, you know, how to network and community and all of that. Those things are important.
Okay. Yes, very important. And having control of the media is the thing on the ground, having control of the media on the ground. The media on the ground for whatever you call the people is the Wall Street Journal. You know, it's the business and it's their Bible, and they read that every day. But most people don't read that. So what are they reading? You know, they're reading periodicals, likely not for us, but and likely not for us reading the newspaper either. But the more Dr. Pender was mentioning, how to get it out into the masses of the people would make it more credible and accessible. And the content of it would be more credible and accessible. And as it relates to the newspaper laying in the house and other people reading it, it would give other people access to it also. And so the conversation comes out in the house, you know, with that medium. And I didn't know how important it was until David kept pounding about one less than 1%, 1%, 1%. And I see that these folk are trying to take the 1% away, and we don't have any representation on the ground at all. We just trapped in their net, you know, paying their advertising costs and getting the same thing over and over again, which amounts to nothing. Go ahead.
I think that's the perfect segue into the updating of the directory in the National Black Unity News. And that's a conversation that has recently been put back on the table of how to get that. So I'm like you, Michael. I was like, okay, if it's 50 states, and, you know, David said he already has some infiltration nationally, but how do we grow that? And that's what we're working on now. One thing that he asked me to bring up, out of the 52 pages that is in the National Black Unity News, there is a small percentage of businesses that are listed in our own directory. So that is the first piece that we need to do, is enlist our members. And I want to put out there that there are different levels of participation, but there's also a free level. So you don't have to be afraid to get started. And I mean, if anyone protested with being listed, we could probably already just sign you up and put you in there, especially for the people that are in different. So, I mean, in my own research, and I go back to a couple of conversations ago, but I had a lady come to me that lives in Virginia, but she stays in Petersburg. She was looking for a fence company, but she wanted to support a Black business. Do you know how long that took me? And at first, I came to us because I wanted to, you know, give that referral to somebody that's already a part of us. I did talk to Pernell Moore, and he said that he didn't do that, and that was outside of his range. So long story short, and this is the hard part. I mean, when you go on Google, when you go on, you know, business listings, I looked for black business listings, and I found more white people on the black business listing than I found black people on the black people's listing. And then I was put in an awkward position because I had to technically ask them, were they black owned, because I have a referral and they want to support a black business. I had somebody the wagon again, and finally he said to me, I am white. I said, well, if we do not find anyone, is it okay if I come back and she agrees to refer the business to you? And he was like, okay. But I don't ever want to be, when I looked at Google says that for black business, they're supposed to have a 3 stripes or a badge. Yelp says 3 stripes or a badge. When I looked at the big giants out here, they were supposed to already have some kind of tag on that business to automatically let you know that it was black owned, not minority owned, black owned. So with that being said, she asked me for a plumbing referral, and I was like, oh my God. But the person who turned me on to the fence maker was a white man who told me to go to the supplier to ask for this guy who told me who was black that bought from him. And then he gave me 2 names, and I've talked to them, you know. But I would like to have more choice because these people are busy. And people, that's the one thing about service, like you said, friend, you have to show up. When you got a referral, you got to be there. You got to have somebody called and no answer until I call the owner back. And the owner said, call my office. This person should be there. They should answer and set up the appointment for him to go out. Well, at the end of the day, it took him about 72 hours to actually go to the property, look at it, and give a quote for it. So I don't know how that's in limbo, but that made it even more like, okay, I looked in my own state. I'm looking for black business. We got 2 black banks. 1 in credit union. Y'all have Harbor Bank. Harbor Bank has 5 mm-hmm. locations in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, this was on a weekend when I did my research, but they need to be on board for us. I mean, and especially I looked at their profile, or I didn't really, you know, I looked at their assets, their lending power, what services they offer. So they look reputable, you know, but these are the solicitations that we're going to have to make if we want to expand and build our community, because with the expansion will come the credibility that people will want to jump on the bandwagon. So to close, we are looking at the directory, the expansion, the 50 states, black business, balancing out, I mean, because contractors, medicine, you know, the home, auto. I did find a insurance agent. He's licensed in Virginia and Maryland. I sent him an email. He hasn't emailed me back, but I'll be calling him tomorrow. Black, I mean, perfect. You know, all state. You know, I mean, so that would be perfect. But this is the balance that will help us build a community and give us more opportunities to support each other.
I can tell you that one of the main reasons why this thing hasn't happened already, there have been many, 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 many attempts at creating a Black business directory. To ask David that with the Informer newspaper, we did it 40 years ago. We did it with Lewis Fields when he had the Black pages. I used to hawk them books all over the city for Lou Fields. That was 30 years ago. Just when I was in Maryland last week and I was doing that work that I was doing, I needed cleaning people, I needed a painter, and I needed a person to put in a heating system. And I dug like you did to find Black people to do this work. Now, I went to Maryland on like the 6th or so of April, and I stayed in Maryland until last Saturday. I have yet to get a return call from the Black people that I called to give this business. And I'm not talking about I'm talking about a relatively reasonable amount of money, you know.
Right.
We ended up paying the cleaning people $500 because it was a lot of work that had to be done. But that's somebody Black that could have had that $500. They wouldn't even call me back. The painter guys, the house was only 800 square feet. But they wanted to charge me $6,000 to paint an 800 square foot house. Oh. Like, are you crazy? I'm a woman. Hello. And I'm like, come on, fellas. Well, you know, it's a lot of work and we do quality work. And I'm like, I'm not crazy. It does not cost $6,000 for you to paint this house. He wanted to bring in a crew of five, and I said, man, what you going to do? Take turns painting a stroke? It's only 800 square feet.
Right.
So needless to say, they got canned. I wasn't going to pay. You know, look, I believe in using Black business, but
right.
I do not believe in Black business taking advantage of me because I'm a woman or because they think I might have some money laying around and they can just, you know, get up in my pocket. I ended up going with a Hispanic lady for the cleaning because I called three Black cleaning services. And when they didn't call me back, I gave them a week to call me back. They didn't call me back. I called each one of them again, and then I called the Hispanic lady. The Black people still have not called me back. And I left two very detailed messages, what I wanted, what my budget was, how much I was looking to pay. If they could, you know, get close to that, then, you know, let's have a conversation, blah, blah. They didn't even return my phone. The Hispanic lady called me back before I could write the note in my book of who I called, what time I called it. She called me back. She said, what time do you want me to come and look? I said, can you come tomorrow? She said, what time do you want me to be there? I'm like, see, what do you do with that? You have, you go.
But you know what, friends? That has to be taught.
Well, yes, it does. But let me tell you something, Trudy, okay? And you know, I love you, sister girl, but don't come for me after this. But if you have a shingle
up. I love you,
sis. If you have a shingle up and you say you are in business, you're supposed to know what to do. I'm not supposed to teach you what to do. You're going to take my money. You got to come to the table knowing what to do. And if you don't know what to do, go sit down somewhere. Take a class somewhere. Ask somebody that's doing well. What do they do to do well?
And that's why there's crime, stealing, and killing on the streets. It's an oxymoron.
Why?
No.
Why?
We train our people how to be businessmen.
We've been conditioned by the society in which we live in to not trust our own selves. So therefore, we don't trust those who look like us. So appearance is another thing. We have a business. We've been in business 42 years, and we have a pest control business statewide, and we get businesses all over. In fact, if you look at the black statewide directory, either go to the governor's office and ask for a directory of black businesses, you will find them. Mm-hmm. We had state contracts and get them all the time, but now we're, like, I'm in my 70s, and we have people to work. We pay our people $1 a minute to work, which is $60 an hour. That's not much, but it's something, but we can't find people to work. The problem is we have some people that come to work one day and the next day, you know, like, and the next day they come to work. We want to train them and get them involved and put them in their own businesses. And we want to give our business to somebody. It's a multi-billion dollar industry because we do mold, pest control, the whole nine yards, and we're now looking to expand into other states to give it to other people, but we want to keep it in the black areas. We want somebody black to do it, and we've been trying for 10 years and just can't find anybody to work. That's horrible. I'm 75, and if somebody called me to work, you know, like, I'm a supervisor, and my wife don't pay me. She told me if I don't work, I don't eat. I missed a $14 million contract, y'all. And I got, who is this? That's Donald Trump keep messing with me. I missed a $14 million contract, and so my wife fired me, so now I'm an XO. But anyhow, it's money out there to be made. The problem is, when we get these jobs, show up when you're supposed to, and show up presentable. Don't go on the job with all kind of clothes. Guy comes to work the other day with a Black Lives Matter shirt on. And, of course, you got to put on a uniform when you come to work with us. And I said, we're going to a fight, for, you know, because most of our business actually, we got a 50-50 split. We do a lot of white businesses. In fact, we do business with the Ku Klux Klan. We do work for them. They call us in to do their work because we're good at what we do. And so what happened, when my people go out there, they can't be raggedy, shaggy, or looking back. They have to look neat. You have to be very neat to work with us. Although it's dirty work, and the places where we go is, you know, like, it's horrifying sometimes, but you still got to respect my customers. Don't go around them cursing. Don't go around them smoking. And those are some things that comes along with, you know, when you're in business for yourself, you get it when you want to, and you go to sleep when you want to. You don't work on certain days. I may work 5 days a month, and that's enough. All I need is I need 10 hours a month. You know, like at 75, I'm retired, so I work 10 hours a month, and I get a biscuit out of it or something like that. But the thing is, work can be done in your areas and other areas if you look in the right places. But you got to find the right kind of mind. But the system is, I've trained them, don't work for nobody black, work for us. That's, if you look at it over the whole border, if you look at the whole nine yards from the time you were in school to the time you got out of school, they teach you to work for them and not for yourself.
Yeah.
That's where you got to work uphill. That's why you can't find anybody to work.
Yes, the Hispanic population, I heard, has exceeded the black population. However, even before the Hispanic population exceeded the black population, the Hispanic economy was on top of the black economy.
Yes, because they're family-oriented also.
They go to work. Yeah. They load those trucks, and they go to work, and they stay there until the job is done, that kind of thing, that kind of attitude. And as it relates to getting the Black Unity News out, I had a thought a couple, three, 4 days ago that I still have newspapers, and I want to send each black mayor a newspaper and circle my content and ask them if they would ask the other politicians, you know, to subscribe to the National Black Unity News. So if I sent out 40 papers to 40 different black politicians or mayors, that's what I plan to do, you know, as one effort to get expansion on the paper.
Michael, I have a suggestion. When you can't just send the paper without a conversation with the individual that's going to be receiving the paper.
Thank you.
Because I've been down this road, so I'm gonna save you some expense and some heartache. I just, you know, I look at the paper. I'm so proud of it because I see what we've done. I see where we started, and I see where we're at, and I'm so excited about it. And I just found 20 black businesses, 20 black business people that are doing well. They're doing well. And I didn't have the conversation. I just put a little sticky on the paper. Please call me to talk about this amazing opportunity. Because I thought once they read the paper, you know how easily most of the time, if you're sitting someplace and you're reading the paper and somebody will come up to you and say, what is that? Where did you get that? You know, they sell themselves, right? So I've had this big idea. Well, I'm just going to put a sticky on there. Call me if you, you know, if you, when after you read this. But you know what happened? I didn't get any calls. And so I start calling places. And they're like, oh, yeah, we got it. I said, well, did anyone read it? Well, you know, it just came kind of random, so we didn't really know what to do with it. So they just kind of sat it to the side, and then they sat something else on top of it and something else on top of that and something else on top of that, and it ended up in a pile of junk that nobody was paying any attention to. So when I started talking to people, my name's Fran Allen. I'm an editor in this paper. This is a paper that is a solution-oriented paper that's for black people, about black people, by black people. And we're trying to get the black support of the black community to, you know, help us to expand the distribution of this opportunity, because it's an opportunity. I said, where else can you put an ad in something and have it run for 3 months? It runs for 3 months. You pay one very affordable price and it runs for 3 months. And those papers, they switch hands and they go everywhere, blah, blah, blah. But I had to have that conversation with them for them to become interested in it. Just receiving it in the mail, they, huh, a black paper. Wow, that's interesting. But then they get distracted. John, come up in here. Oh, all right. And then he throws it on the desk, and then somebody else puts something else on top of it, and then nobody sees it. So you got to have the conversation so they're kind of expecting it.
Right.
And then when they get it, they're like, yo, man, you know, I heard about this paper. Look, I just got it today. It, you know, she said it was about black people, for black people, blah, blah, blah. Man, look at this thing. And then they start a whole conversation around it. But that doesn't happen unless you make the call first and kind of point them in that direction. It's a good thing to send it out, but you got to have the conversation, especially if you're going to send it to a political office, because
right.
It might be a black politician, but they got white staff people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You know, I know that game. They've got white staff people. The white staff people will see the paper and they'll go, oh, look at this. And then they'll sit it down someplace, and the one you sent it to will never know it got there.
That's right.
If you don't tell them that it's coming, they don't know to ask for it. Or they'll tell, you know, if you call them and tell them that it's coming, they'll tell their staff, I'm expecting this in the mail. When it comes, I need to see it on my desk. Then it'll get where it's supposed to go, but not if
you
don't have the conversation. So,
you know, an idea just came up. Fran, excuse me for cutting you off, but an idea just came up. Why don't we take, you know, like each quarter that we write our papers and put a ad inside of your, you know, say for your one page, put an ad in there, subscribe to this newspaper, and then put your code number in there. And so therefore, when you get the paper, you can take that one particular paper and go to the shop and have that one page run off with your ad in there. I mean, with your, subscription box in there, and just pass that one sheet out. And so therefore you're doing two jobs in one. Instead of putting all the papers out, you're just putting one page out. It's your paper, but the thing is you're putting it out into many places. So you can send that actually on an email to someone. It may be an idea to generate some more papers.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. You know, at the bottom of my page, I always put, you know, if you want to you know, have a comment, suggestion, or, you know, contact Fran Allen, please contact her at, and I put my website and my email address. But I think you're right, Dr. Pandera. If we can carve out just a little space to put a little box to tell people, you know, if you'd like to subscribe, go to whatever the website is and enter this number for the, you know, the ID number or what have you, then it encourages people in that moment. And a lot of times, if you don't hit them in the moment when they get the paper and they read the article and they really like it, if you don't hit them right then, they forget about it. You know, it's that old thing, distraction. It comes back and then they're off doing something else with somebody else over something else, and the paper gets lost in the sauce.
Yeah, but a one-page ad at the shop costs you a buck, and you could possibly get two or three or four of them run off 8.5 by 11 or either 11.5 by 17 with the ad and everything in it. Just think of how many churches that you could put that on a board with your whatever you're writing that month. Put the subscription down the bottom. A lot of eyes will see that thing. That's maybe a good idea. You could possibly, we could possibly turn the corner with that. That's
I think so.
Idea. Thank you guys for the idea.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, you brought it up. That's an excellent idea. It's very efficient. You know, you just get a copy of it and send it out, you know, to those folks that you desire to send it out to. And also, you can also follow up or in advance, as Fran said, have a conversation with the folk and let them know that'll be coming up in the email. And I forgot to mention that David Murphy, the founder and host of the today's Zoom and Facebook Live, which is not Facebook Live, and is absent today and asked me to come on as host and for Trudy Williams and Satawi Jai to be co-host. And I didn't say that in the beginning, so I want to say it now. Pardon my error for not mentioning that up front. And we were talking about time for... go ahead.
And you know, Mr. Thomas, that is so fine because I don't get my hair in the beehive. You know, I don't get my hair in the beehive. But I wrote down Dr. Pender's suggestion, Fran, your suggestion. So I'm taking notes, and this is the conversation. So by the time we get to the next issue, somehow in the directory we have codes. So I'm not sure if they would use that same code because it might be a compromise of security. But if you your initials and the last four, your phone number or something that's simple, you know, that it's not going to, and it automatically be assigned to your page. That's one that, so it's already done, in other words, you know. And if you guys, like you said, friends, suggestions, or anybody's got, you know, experiences, because for me, I'm not about recreating the wheel. If it works, then all we need to do is take it and work it, you know, not trying to invent. It takes too long, in my opinion. If we're talking about a call to action and we're also talking about conversion, you know, conversion is taking a customer that is looking and turning them into a sale. So those are, and they call them KPIs, but I can't tell you what that acronym stands for. But it's like analytics. You can start to look at what's working and what's not, what should be added, you know. So it could be a phase by, because this should just take off.
Yes.
I'm done. Can you hear me?
Yes. Stunning. Yes, it's great to make headway. And I was thinking of if Dr. Pender could make a template, you know, that we could use, you know, just fill in the blanks according to each of us, an identification, a template where we can do that. That's a huge move.
Yeah, that, I was going to also look at, see what happened. That one page is going to get the attention, but what happened? The front page could be on the backside. So therefore, they're going to know what's enclosed inside, just not you, but it's the whole paper. So we'll say, hey, this is the paper that you're going to receive. This is the front cover, but it's 64 or 36 people in here. This is just happened to be my ad, and you can order, you know, a whole paper. But the thing is, to give you a whole paper, it would not be cost effective. So we can do this. I'll make up one and get it to you possibly by tomorrow. I'll send it to Trudy, and I guess she could get it out.
Mike, hello? Trudy.
Okay, Dr. Pender, you just let me know, you know, what, and I'm listening now, you know, but what should be included or what you all want included, and then I'll ask David if we can just start assigning the codes to wherever your ad is in the paper, and then we could take it from there so you could get credit for it.
But we all have ID numbers already.
Bernie, you're quiet. Dr. Leroy, I'm sorry.
I said we already have ID numbers that are already assigned.
But what we do is put ID number.
That's,
you just have
that's
to put
what
that
I
number
said,
in.
But I don't
the,
know.
The template.
That's a compromise of the
I don't see how it
so
would
be. So if David says it's okay, I was just thinking about security, you know, but if that we're assigned already in the directory, then that's a done deal.
Well, I think that if we're talking about distributing this marketing piece and we're looking to use it to build subscriptions and the individual that's doing, you know, the particular ask, should be the person that gets the benefit from the subscription. And the only way those two things, the subscription purchase can be tied to your effort is through your ID number.
And I agree, Frank, just saying your ID, if it doesn't violate a security issue, then we can use the one blind in the directory. But if you put your ID number out there and then somebody hacks into the system using that ID, that's why I was saying maybe we could just create something that means nothing. You know, your initials and the last four of your phone number, then it doesn't tie you.
Mm-hmm.
All they need to have is that code, you know, subscribe TW or subscribe CP or subscribe FA, something generic. But if it's not to violate the security.
Yeah, that solves the problem.
I think it's durable, guys. I think it's durable. I think everything we've discussed this evening is looking at
because people think all kinds of
way
Vernon and Dr. Leroy, we ain't heard nothing.
Yeah, where are you guys?
Maybe the way to solve that before we do a mass distribution is to have a conversation with Dempsey about it, because Dempsey's going to be able to tell you what we need to just put on the form instead of guessing about what it ought to be. We can just ask Dempsey, okay, are we going to do this? Are we going to do the subscription thing? And what do we put on there so each individual person can get credit for the subscriptions that they bring in, and let him tell us what it is. And then we'll know that it's not going to be a security risk, which is a good concern. And we won't have to reinvent the wheel two or three times, because instead of asking, we just try to figure it out.
Okay, Dr. Leroy and Vernon came in. We had a conversation there. You can ask Trudy, can elaborate on what we've talked about, or Fran, anyone.
Okay.
Open up your mics. Come in.
Good evening, everyone. I agree with we asked Mr. Murphy to find out if it's security risk or whatever. But I mean, I stand in agreement with everything that has been said.
Super, super. So Trudy, are you going to you contact him about that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, David and I had some conversation about the directory. So I will, you know, I will mention, you know, and I'm sure it's recorded. He's going to watch all of us and see how we did in his absence. So, I mean, but I'm thankful that everybody is here talking. Dr. Leroy, it's your turn.
Yes, I'm here. Yeah, I think that's a as far as the distribution, I think that's a viable option. But I do agree with Fran. Instead of trying to do it and then have to go back and correct it, let's just talk with Mr. Dempsey first. What do we need to do? You know, or how can we do it? How to do it? How do we need to approach it to do it?
Mm-hmm.
That way he can tell us the proper way, and then we're actually doing it the way that he wants us to do it, instead of doing it and then them saying, no, that's not what we should have done. But we actually saying, okay, this is how we can do it. I think that's a great way to get subscriptions and to garner more people, more eyeballs on the newspaper. I also think that if we can, to those that whoever we get or that we can have in person to be able to have the picture. What I usually try and do with the newspaper is, in addition to letting them know about the subscription or the where to go to subscribe, was to also take a picture with the newspaper and have them send it to you. And we can put those out as well, because that kind of will hopefully feed other people seeing the newspaper, like what I'm saying. Oh, I see somebody, see you sitting there reading the newspaper, but now all of a sudden I'm seeing, what are these people, you know, what are these pictures of these people reading the newspaper and everything like that? And that may, that can also, I think, contribute to it too. And I just ask them, you know, do they mind when they receive the paper, if they have the paper, can they take a picture with it? Or if I happen to be there, then we take a picture together with the newspaper, because that puts it out there, and then you have them put it on, post it on their page, and then as well as send it to us or post it to the National Black Unity News' Facebook page as well, so that it's put out there too, and then it can be shared from all of that.
You have some.
Now you're breaking up.
You have some pictures that.
Yeah, you're breaking up really. Is it?
She's saying, do you have any of those pictures?
Do you have some pictures?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I believe I've posted them on the page, on the Facebook page.
I have some too.
Yeah, because I definitely, because any of the authors that are part of the author showcase, when I send them their copies of the paper, in my letter that I drafted to them, I asked them to take a picture. And then when I'm out at events and I have the newspaper with me, I post those as well too. So I'll make sure I'll send them. I don't know how I can send them, but you can, if you go to the net, if you go to our Facebook page, I have them on there as well too already.
But that's the cover of the newspaper.
No, it's not just the cut. Well, it'll be, yeah, most of the time it's the cover of the newspaper, them holding up the newspaper.
Okay,
is what it is. And I took a couple of, at an event that I was at, and I actually was showing them the different parts of the newspaper. And the photographer who was there caught me actually showing them the different, you know, he took a couple of pictures of me showing, you know, showing the people that I was around the newspaper.
Good. Okay.
If people actually see themselves in the paper, I mean, that could increase the.
Yeah.
Oh, I think we lost. Did we lose her?
No, no, she came through clearly. She just closed the mic there. Yeah, I think we've made a lot of headway today on a new way of getting the paper out, as Dr. Pender was mentioning earlier. You know, what can we do to get the paper out? And this idea of digitizing it, you know, is the best way, as Fran indicated about mailing out physical copies of the whole paper, and they get stacks upon stacks upon stacks of other papers on top of the paper. And it's not effective and efficient, but I think this digitized way is better. You can email the stuff out to people, anyone, and whether you call them in advance or not, but if you call in someone who is a public figure or something, it'd be good to talk to them in advance, as Fran mentioned, and then probably follow up and see if they receive the information and reiterate to them that we are expanding the circulation, and we'd like for you to expose this to your other constituents or whoever they may be, and to help us to expand our circulation.
I want a word of caution, though. Politicians, elected officials, they are animals all of their own. Please,
okay.
You got to be really careful that you do not allow them to snatch up an ad that becomes a political platform.
Yes.
Because it's
yes.
not a political paper.
Yes.
It's
right.
not it we really have to present
should we
it.
Just direct to business people.
Well, I mean, you can talk to anybody, but you have to make sure to let them know that this is a solution oriented paper for Black melanated African-American people, and it is about our narrative in a positive, progressive, solution-oriented fashion, where we're spreading the good news. We don't have murders in our paper. We don't have shootings and rapes and robbery in our paper. We don't have the beatdown in our paper. We're talking about people who are successful and who are achieving and who are stepping out and facing the challenges and making the choices and becoming consistent and disciplined and not allowing the distraction to keep them from getting the things that they deserve to have, and showing us that if I can do it, you can do it. And that motivational thing and the inspiration of it all. And that's what we're really all about. And we don't want to hear nothing about, we don't want to Bidenize our economy, because it ain't that kind of party.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah,
may I suggest also, is why don't we make a decision to go after the core? In other words, the biggest population. With politicians just get one or two here or there. And like you said, they may misscrew it and use it for their political gain. But the pastors, churches, are our biggest market. And
well,
so therefore, if we go after that particular market, that's where the people are.
So I have been down that road here with a couple of churches. And what I have discovered is that I don't know enough about the area to pick the churches yet. I'm getting there, but there are some pastors who simply do not allow you to come into their house and sell anything. They don't care. They don't sell chicken dinners.
We're not selling it. Send it to him.
No, but the pastor is not. Yes, but they are not going to announce it from the pulpit, and they're not because it's a purchase of a subscription.
Okay, no problem.
So I'm not saying that it can't work in the churches. I'm saying that you have to be careful about which churches you hit up. Because.
But if we blanket the whole area, we're going to find some that says no and some says yes, but that's still our biggest market.
So this is the way I got around. Well, this is how I approached it at my church. You know, our youngest contributing writer is Colin Johnson, and Colin wrote his article when he was 8. He has since informed me that he has become 9. And so he is now 9 years old. And I was hoping I could get him on a call tomorrow, but Pastor changed Bible study, so it's not going to happen tomorrow. maybe Tuesday, the following week, I can get Colin and his dad to sign on to our call so we can have a conversation with him and encourage him and inspire him and such, because he is such a young guy. But that's what I did. That's how I got this paper in the hand of my pastor. But I was doing some quick dancing. I was tap dancing pretty quick. So,
well, who's the best market, Fran? Who's the best market, would you say, you know, without the reservations?
I would say we can hit the, if we can hit the colleges, Black Student Union, they'll eat this up.
Let me write that. Y'all, this
colleges,
is good stuff, guys.
Black Student
stuff.
Unions. If you hit the Black alumni of some colleges, find out who the president is of the Black Alumni Association, okay?
HBCUs.
Yes, the HBCUs. But you know what? There are other schools that are not necessarily HBCUs that have Black Alumni Associations. I belong to the Black Alumni Association at Hopkins. Hopkins got one. So if they got one, they all got one. They might not advertise it, but they all got one. They got somebody.
Yes.
They have somebody on the campus that is responsible for minority student participation, minority student recruitment, yeah, those people. And then again, you know, look to your community leaders. Where is your Black Chamber of Commerce? You know, can you get 5 minutes to go to the Black Chamber of Commerce and just say, I have this resource for X number of dollars. There's a price list in the back. You can get the advertisement for your company paper for 3 months for the very affordable price of X. Here are some papers. I'm just trying to get them, expand the distribution. And if any of you are really about Black business and uplifting the Black community, maybe that little subscription for $18.50 won't break the bank. And then that's that's the Black Chamber of Commerce. If the area does not have a Black Chamber of Commerce, maybe they have a Black Business Community Association. But I mean, we just have to get creative and start thinking about, you know, if there was a group to join, which one of them would it be that I would join? Is there, you know, a business association? Is there a community association? Is there, a group in the community?
National.
Yeah. It's, just put your thinking cap on. It'll come to you. But that's where, how I would approach it.
Thank you. Thank you. Golden. It's been golden.
Can I see that?
Fran, you're a jewel. You know that?
Thank you. I love
y'all. You made my evening. You're better than T-Bone Steak today, girl.
Well, Trudy started it.
Yes.
She made me put my thinking cap on. Thank you, girlfriend. I miss you.
You ladies are just fantastic.
Thank you.
Y'all got
Fran.
I'm
glad you're back. Yeah. I'm sorry, Dr. Prenda, we were talking over you. I apologize.
No, I'm sorry. My apologies. Go ahead.
Dr.
Okay,
Leroy,
Dr.
were you going to say something? Yeah.
Apologies.
Well, we made some progress tonight, and I guess Brother Satawi is on here. Who's going to close this out? Dr. Leroy, you got a final comment? Michael, Dr. Pender, I'm done.
No, I mean, I'll say that this has been, like I said, very productive. Finding, just being able to find additional ways to be able to get the word out about the National Black Community News. That's what we all should be working towards, because it's a great newspaper. It's a global international newspaper.
No, don't say that. We want to hear it.
That's touching people around the globe. So let's do what we can to be able to up the subscriptions, the subscribership. And that's what we have to keep in mind. How do we get more people to subscribe, more people to be able to see it? The more we talk about it, the more people, you know, will subscribe. It's a numbers game. I think everybody on here knows it's a numbers game. The more people we talk to, the more subscribers that we get. For every 100, we may get 2 subscribers. That's 2%. That's only 2%. That's what we've got to look at, and that's what we got to understand and keep doing. So I'll leave it at that.
Vernon's hand is up.
Okay, go ahead, Vernon.
Yeah, I just wanted to add something to the subscription part. We can look at ways to add value to the subscription. Uh-huh. You know, what are the people looking for? And take that and add it to the subscription, maybe to add to see that it has value. Because sometimes when people don't see that something has value, they're not interested. You know.
Absolutely.
I think Fran put that in there. There's no murder. There's no. There's mm-hmm. nothing. Yeah, that's value right there, because it's no drama. It's everything is just positive, and so
right.
Yeah.
Solution
that's oriented. Good point. Thank you.
But right. in a way where. I mean, as far as you know, the content, but as far as value, where if you're in the church, you know, there's something that I need to have. If you're in college, it's something that, you know, where across the board that everybody like us needs to have. You know, it's got to be, you know, that's something that will draw everybody.
That's a good idea, Vernon. I understand where you're coming from. How can we cherry pick, in other words, when you start looking at what's going to hold the interest or what's going to make someone get the subscription, because they're going to say, oh, I need that, or, oh, that, you know, that fits my lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
or, yeah, I
Uh-huh. Okay, so I think that goes back to, we're going to have to open up the paper and read past our own articles, because there is so much value in it. But if you don't read the whole paper, then you don't know what you're talking about when you tell somebody that there's some great stuff in it. But if you haven't read it, you don't know what the great stuff really is. Look, there are some people that need the Donata Mooring sleep study stuff. They need that
mm-hmm.
because they're not sleeping at night, and they're going to open it up and go, oh, maybe this can really help me. Or they're going to see, you know, the poems. What is his name? I can see his face. But the gentleman that writes the poems, the one that if you call him up right now and ask him to do a poem about Black people, he'll spit it right out. Oh. Anyway, there's that. My piece this month is about what are you reading? And it talks about all these different books that I really had just laying around collecting dust, because some of them I've read, some of them I've read more than once, and others of them I'm just looking at them going, dang, how long have I had this? And I have not even read it. So I started picking them up, and I was reading about 5 books at the same time. And then I thought, this is my article. So I wrote all a little snippet about all those books that I was reading to give people a clear understanding that you've got stuff right in your house in your own bookcases right now that you have not picked up and read, but there's a pearl of wisdom in there. There's a jewel in there that you need to know right now. And it's been waiting for you to pick it up for months or weeks or years in some cases, and we haven't done it, but we need to do it, because that's how we expand our mind, our knowledge. That's how we expand how we think about what we're able to do, where we're able to go, what we're able to accomplish, who we can get to help us, and all of that. It's all right there. So So it's in the paper. It's in the paper. And the value added that you are going to be able to tell other people that is in the paper is only going to come to you when you open up the paper and read it. Now, I'm guilty because I have not read
which we have found that a lot of people not going to do it. I could see it from I mean, I have read the paper. I have looked at everything that everyone does in the paper. But I think I understand if you take this paper from and give it to somebody on the street, how can we trigger? I think that's the how do you showcase that value, or how do you harness it? It's there.
I think you just said it. You know, I'm thinking on the marketing level. Mm-hmm. You know, I hope you guys can catch up with me. But what you said, and probably rewind it and listening to it, and this is what I picked up. If you don't open it, like, it could be a commercial. If you don't open it and read it, how will you know?
Mm-hmm.
A hook, right. Yeah, they have a hook. Cool.
Yeah, and then you talk about a jewel, and then the other part of the commercial, oh, it's a jewel, something that you said, it was right on point. It's a jewel,
right.
and that you need it now.
Right, right.
Which is the National Black Unity newspaper.
Right.
If you don't open it and read it, how will you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like all, you know, the poems, the positive information that we have in there, the authors, the networking, you know, things. If you don't open it, how will you know?
Right.
And then
right.
if you open it, you will see that
right.
it's a jewel that you need.
Right.
You know, it'll touch, you know, whether you're in the church, you know, a college student, you know, what is it that I'm missing that I need? You tell me.
But that's it. You all just and Vernon, I think you hit it. We understand who the target market is. It's not just
mm-hmm.
about the average person that's walking down the street.
Right.
We're talking
right.
about we have to be strategic and intentional
yes.
about who
yes.
the newspaper is for. Y'all just
yes.
gave three examples. Y'all said the church.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Y'all said the young students, college students,
mm-hmm.
and I'm thinking the business owners.
The business community.
Mm-hmm.
But
where
let me
you
tell
find-
you something. If you've got that paper out, you sit, I do it all the time. When
yeah.
I go to a restaurant, I take it in there on purpose, and I open it up on purpose. And sometimes I'm not even really reading the articles. I'm just waiting for somebody to ask me about the paper. And it never fails. Somebody will say, excuse me, miss, but where did you get that? And I'll say, this paper? Oh, I'm an editor in the paper, but I have others. Are you interested? And they always say, yes. And I say, well, good. The subscription for the paper is only $18.50. That's $4.63 a month. Everybody can afford that. That's one candy bar and one soda. And now, after the pandemic, it's a half a candy bar and a sip of soda.
That's a commercial. You just
Hello?
Said a commercial.
Hello?
I visualized that. That's a commercial.
If you...
There you go. That's what I do.
You could probably borrow some space on the bottom of the front page and target and use it as a target for the market of each quarter.
Mm-hmm.
This quarter we may target, even if we just borrow something on the front page, some space, and put our target markets on there. So then they will automatically look at it and say, oh, I'm a college student. I need to go to page 15 or I'm a whatever, you know, like to try. And I get Vernon's part because it is marketing. You know, how do we target and have that market grab them on the front page, because the front page is phenomenal. you know, but borrow some space maybe at the bottom. See college students go to page, church members go to even, page
no,
for.
We don't have,
your,
we don't
no,
have to do
you don't
all
have,
that.
You don't have to do
all
that.
You have,
you have
to
do
is create, all you have to do is create some curiosity. Curiosity killed the cat.
And that's
curiosity
exactly
will make
I'm,
them open. It will make, so all you have to do is say, there's something in here for everybody. All you got to do is open it up and then let them go find what's in there for them.
But
if you don't
it,
open
you
it,
know,
you, will not, you will not know, as Vernon said.
Yeah.
If
you don't open
it, you will
it,
not
you,
know.
You won't find it if you don't open it.
Here's the thing.
There's something in here for everybody, but you won't find it if you don't open it.
Here's the thing, y'all. Here's the thing. Hold on. You've got to know where your target market is.
Yeah.
If it's college students, we have two major HBCUs here. Why
mm-hmm.
isn't our newspaper in their bookstore?
Mm-hmm.
Is anybody
if
going to the bookstore
saying,
to ask?
That's what I'm saying. Right. Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
That's holding in a focus.
That's
right.
Focusing.
If we're saying this is for college students, we should be on the campus of Morgan State, Coppin State, saying, here's a newspaper for you. Have it in, have a talk with the store manager, find out what needs to be done in order to be able to have it in the bookstore.
So maybe it's the black business department. The department for black, you know, for
procurement.
Business
procurement,
entrepreneurship. What's his name?
Omar. It's Omar.
Yes.
It's Omar having a conversation with Omar.
You need to have a conversation. Yeah, because Omar is the king of business, black business, particularly entrepreneurship at Morgan. That's Mr. Muhammad. So we need to get him.
I'll reach out to Omar, see if I can't reach out to Omar, see if I can't connect with him. Now, he probably won't have the connection to the bookstore, but it'll just be a matter.
Well, you know, I don't know. Omar has been on that campus for many years.
I know that's true, too. Yeah, he probably knows who he is.
Don't sleep on with the connection.
He's two, three people away.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that'll give us a connection with the college
mm-hmm.
students that
mm-hmm.
we need
mm-hmm.
at Morgan, and we do the same thing on the college campus of Coppin State.
Right,
every university that we have here, I'm sure, has a black college or black student union or a friend. You said that you were part of the at Coppin.
At Hopkins.
Who are those? Can we tap into them? That's how you get the. That's how you connect with the target or the college student target market.
Mm-hmm.
If we want businesses, to subscribe. We have
so
the black business direct.
Who is?
But we can use as
great
a,
idea.
As a benefit.
Kendrick Tillman, is Kendrick still the president of the Black Chamber?
Yes, absolutely.
So
and he's actually done an ad, I think, in the paper. If I'm not mistaken.
No, but has he had anybody from the paper come to a chamber meeting and do a presentation?
No, that's an idea as well, too. So, yeah, absolutely. So
they used to have speakers
Kendrick
come in all the time. So
yeah, that's Kendrick
that would not be an unusual thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Can I make a point?
Yeah.
Also, when you're saying businesses, one of the most prominent black businesses that we have everywhere in the United States is a barbershop. And the barbershop reached the inner city because you got children, you got families. All these ideas are coming up. Man, you guys are great this evening.
Yeah, barbershop.
Yeah, it seems like
leave one in there. That's all you have to do is leave one in there.
Yeah, these are locations where you have populations of people coming through and they are intellectually ready to receive that information.
And Pastor, even you mentioned that barbershops, the beauty salons as well.
Hair salons.
They go hand in hand.
I'm running out of paper.
So those are the outlets that we can tap into to up the subscribership, to be able to get people to notice the paper, one, and then two, hopefully get them to subscribe to the newspaper as well. That's those three target markets that we just talked about.
All right.
And one more point. What do y'all think about libraries as it relates to black people who work in libraries, you know, and the library subscribing itself, because that's a place where the community comes, and you have newspapers and things on the shelves.
That's going to depend on if the library is a public entity or if it's a private entity.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Enoch
Press. In terms of public, because you have we have the New York, local newspaper companies in Charlotte. One company in Charlotte, their newspaper goes into the YMCA and also in the library. I can't think of the name of it, but we have local newspaper companies whose newspapers are in the libraries.
Okay.
So just an inroad to people in the libraries, wherever that contact person may be. So I give some attention to that because I have some association with the librarians.
Dr. Leroy and Dr. Pender, you know, Fran, HBCUs, we all the Hampton University, so y'all got Morgan State. We got like five black HBCUs here, you know.
My alma mater, you got Virginia Union.
Hampton University, Norfolk State, Virginia State University. So that's a mouthful right there. But I think the beauty salon, barbershop, and even black-owned hair supply. Anything that, you know, well, you can kill two birds with one stone, you know, get an advertisement and also spread the circulation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think these were all great ideas.
Yep.
Super. Thank you for showing up, Dr. Leroy and Vernon, coming in with this high-quality information and everyone else participating in us being able to give a direct focus to the market, you know, and gives us some efficient ways to get to the market. So that's a huge thing for today. And I'm happy, you know, to be here among you guys and to get in more enlightened. You come out with more than what you expected,
yeah.
Which has happened today. Yeah, mm-hmm. Come out with more than what is expected. Impressed, Trudy. You know, if you have some other words or whatever, we can close it out. 9:12. We've been on for about an hour, 45 minutes. Good time.
Well, in the words of a salesperson, from my perspective, see, I'm on Vernon's side because you look at marketing and how to make things. But to recap our whole conversation, first, thank you guys. This was impromptu. I just spoke off the top of my head. But to recap, we want to go back and look at subscriptions by putting our code. So we're going to get the permission clarification on how the code should go on each individual person's page so that they can get credit for their own subscription. We started looking at avenues, the core, the marketing, and the places where we can go to expand our reach. And we looked at the target markets, you know, Fran, Dr. Leroy, Vernon took us through a marketing aspect. And the other thing, I thought about it and I forgot, but there was one more thing that we talked about, and I'm always making notes. But I guess we'll wrap it up for this evening. You know, David, when he comes back, he's probably going to be excited. And, you know, and then we can have this, I think the correct word would be consortium, because we're just a small group looking for solutions. And, you know, just to have this open discussion like that, it netted a lot of profit. So if everybody can
go back into their communities or, you know, to their resources. Dr. Leroy, we also, I don't know where the pictures are, but you said that you had pictures. So if, you know, that to me was a great idea too. You know, you having the picture of somebody reading the newspaper, you know, I mean, people recognize, oh, that looks like me, or that could be me, or, you know, something like that. But unless anybody else has anything else to say, I don't. Michael, it's your show.
I just wanted to say, Fran, the person you was making reference to, his name is Mr. Lucas. The poetry guy.
You're muted, Fran.
Yes, that's right. Thank you. That's right. That's right, Satawi. It was Mr. Lucas. That's exactly right.
Okay. Thank you so much, everyone, for showing up and all the great participation. It's been very informing and very informative what we've done tonight. We have it on recording. I'll get it to David. I think he's going to be real thrilled about it. And, hey, just keep on pushing. Thank you very much for having a good day.
Thank you. Good night,
everybody.
All right, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.